Okay, so this is our last presentation for the day. I'd like to welcome Pashi for being with us here. I'm not sure, in Auroville we're very particular about statuses, whether you're a friend of Auroville, whether you're a guest, you're a long-term guest. I think Pashi is definitely a friend of Auroville, and I consider him as an honorary Aurovillian for all the work that he's done right from the early years in Auroville. And he currently, if I'm not mistaken, helps in the planning process in the planning body lab in Auroville. But I'll let him say a few words.
Thank you very much, Bindu. I've been associated with Auroville from its very inception. And I lived in Auroville till 78, when out of certain circumstances I had to go out.
Oh, can we have the fans off again? So,
yeah. So, you're right. Can you... Yeah, it's fixed. Okay. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
No, it's okay for the radio. Yeah.
No,
it?
I asked for the radio.
Okay.
And I came back to Auroville once again in the year 2000, at the turn of the century and the millennium. From the very beginning, my association with Auroville has been more and more in terms of the planning of Auroville. And I've been associated with Auroville's future and now presently with Lavinia's Auroville. But if I go back and say that Lavinia's Auroville was the original name given by the mother to the planning and development of Auroville, and it has acquired its original French name now, whilst in the past few years it was being used as Auroville's future. My professional background is that I qualified as an engineer, and in the 60s I was responsible for a company which was of British origin to set up their manufacturing possibilities within India for manufacturing steam turbines. So in India this was the first private steam turbine manufacturing industry, and I was heading it at that time. Once my interest developed towards Auroville, my engineering went out of the door and instead other interests took over. But as part of planning, I remained associated essentially with the infrastructural aspects of development. In the year 2003, we conducted a study on the energy planning of Auroville for its ultimate development to the 50,000 volunteers. And it is that moment which brought me into play as far as looking at the alternate energies as an essential source of renewable and sustainable energy backgrounds. And we were projecting our estimates on the basis of a 50,000 resident population and also a floating population of one-third of that. So let's say about 70,000 or so persons constantly using the facilities that are available to Auroville. And we came to a conclusion at that time that we will need more or less 1 megawatt of energy per person because of the way we were utilizing energy and wasting it also at the same time.
One megawatt?
No, not per year, because megawatt is the quantum, units are hourly basis, to calculate it. But energy requirement was 50 megawatts. But thanks to the efforts made by our friends in Auroville, a lot of energy audit was carried out and a lot of inputs were brought into play where the energy consumption was gradually being reduced, studied and reduced. Also at the same time, certain developments took place in India that they introduced a star system for the electrical equipment. The result is that our current estimates are that instead of going for 50 megawatts, we will be able to manage with 35 megawatt eventually. So if we are talking in terms of the first 5,000 population, our aim should be presently only at 3.5 megawatt, which should be able to take care of all our necessities and needs, provided we are careful as far as our consumption levels are concerned. In this context, I want to share with you that I made a recent visit to a project in Bangalore. It's called ZED, Zero Energy Development Project. And what surprised me was that in terms of energy, they were using every possible facility, because they're not developers, they're not producers of energy, but consumers of energy. They have used every device available to them today, including what they call conscientious metering, to tell every resident, right, as long as you remain green, you are within the limits, you go into the orange, you are going crossing, red, you are in the danger zone, please control yourself. They have done the same thing with water. Very interesting possibility. And I think Aurobel presents that possibility quite effectively for us. Although it is not directly related to energy, but water consumption is another area. And I discovered there that for a population of 500, that development is meant for 500 people, not a drop of water is taken from the local supply. It's all locally harvested from the rain. Amazing. Same way, also other sustainable activities have been applied in that project. And what surprised me was, as far as the cost per square meter was concerned, it was lower than what we are spending here in Aurobel. Now, this is just to give you a background that in Aurobel, if we are talking of sustainability in terms of energy consumption or various other consumption levels, we have tremendous possibilities provided we are conscious. Now, I heard about Bindu talking about Plan B, Plan C, but don't forget, Aurobel has started with a Plan D.
Master plan.
Divine plan. And there, the basic essentials of economy has been, Carol has referred to it, no money economy and need-oriented economy. That is where your consciousness comes into play to use it. Now, having said that in general terms, I want now to tell you that my interest developed into the biomass when we started conducting a study in the year 2008 to see what our own biomass can contribute towards the energy generation. And a report was prepared that came in our hands in the month of September 2008, almost a year ago, plus year.
Do you want to pass it around? Is it okay to pass it around? We can pass it around if you like.
Now, this gave us a clear indication that there is enough biomass here to be able to give us that 3.5 megawatt energy that we require. But unfortunately, our own internal generation of biomass was refused as a part of the data to us. In other words, we did not receive any collaboration either from the forest group or from the agricultural group to an extent. But we did continue with the study, and we took 5 kilometer radius from the Matri Mandir to see what is the biomass available and at what rates. And our discovery was that we had almost 13,000 tons of biomass which can easily be accessed by Aurobel at a very economical rate of between 800 rupees to 1200 rupees a ton. And this, if converted into energy through gasifier system, could give us about 1.5 megawatt of energy production every year. Now, the economy of these processes of biomass are generally based on how long do you run a plant. You run it for 8 hours, you run it for 16 hours, you run it for 24 hours, and that develops the economy of it. because your electrical loads are not constant. You have high loads, you have medium loads, and you have low loads. But then what you have the possibility is, like what the wind energy will be doing. Whatever you don't require or your energy production is higher, you feed into the grid and you make money out of it. Now this was creating a bit of a problem as far as I'm concerned, because as far as the different types of biomasses were available, we had to pelletize most of them because the solid wood was not available, and for an ideal gasifier you need approximately 2-inch diameter wooden branch.
Tell them what a gasifier is so they get a better concept.
I'll come to that, okay. Let me first brief you on the overall plan of it. And when you look at the energy plantations, which has already been mentioned by one of the speakers earlier, Jatropha has been considered as one of the energy plantations, and it's a disaster. Biofuels are a disaster because they intervene into the food chain. So we had to look for a possibility, and that is when I came across an ideal biomass material in the form of a bamboo. And this bamboo is essentially a cultured bamboo, which you can grow very conveniently at under any soil conditions, and it generally gives you 4 times more the biomass of a normal any other energy plantation or a biomass per acre. What you are seeing here is an 18-month growth of bamboo, of that cultivated or cultured bamboo. Sorry, this is nature. You go to the next one if it's possible.
It takes its time.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the cultured bamboo in 2 years' time, and generally it is ready to be harvested the 3rd year onward. But interesting thing is that the mass of the land that you require for these is 4 times less. 40 tons an acre is an average that you can produce from this bamboo. And also you can grow it to meet your own requirements depending on the size that you want. And you can harvest it every year regularly from 3rd year onward. Certain researches are still going on. I'm not absolutely 100% able to share with you that this is the final answer. But we are really researching it to the extent that till we are sure that this is the right kind of a material that we're looking for. But the fact is that besides this, if you choose other biomasses, and my own feeling is that with almost 500,000 to 1 million trees within the 20 square kilometer area, if we take care of the trees that we have and regularly prune them, I think to produce 10 kilos per tree per year as a biomass is not an impossibility. And therefore, we have a source within our own control to be able to develop this. Okay. Now, comes to the process, if I may share it with you, is that it is essentially a gasification under hot conditions where you don't burn it exactly to absolutely ashes. What you do is you bring the temperature to a level when the basic material starts giving out what is known as a producer gas. And that producer gas, after cleaning and cooling, is fed it either into an engine or into a turbine. And that, being connected with a generator, provides the electricity that you want. As alternate sources, when you look at the wind, wind cannot be located anywhere you want to because it is dependent on a velocity. And unless you have the right kind of a velocity, you have to transmit, and there are always transmission losses as well. And that is what we were talking about in terms of high voltage and low voltage issues, because high voltage is used basically for lesser losses in transmission. Solar energy can be localized, but again, my friend Min, as he explained, at the present level of technology, the costs are high, and you could use it as an alternative source or secondary source for your critical requirements, but not as a major source of your energy requirements. Biomass, on the other hand, is totally under your own control, and it can be local, and it can be delivered at your own requirements as and when you want it. So this is one advantage of the biomass, and especially Auroville, which from absolutely a virgin wasteland has now grown into a absolutely wooded area. I think it gives us the possibility of this. And biomass, according to me, gives us the basic source of developing our energy, whilst other energies are being studied, developed, and brought into play, because we cannot depend on only single source of energy at all. Now, as far as I've been to this place and I've seen it for myself, it's an absolutely fantastic experiment in growing bamboo. But as far as we are concerned, we're still researching, finding out ways and means. And I have also now a few enthusiastic farmers who want to grow bamboo. And I will be looking for more and more partners who want to come into the bamboo. Economically, now this is a salinated, completely wasteland, which is being used for producing bamboo cultivation. But the basic fact is that combined with bamboo, because bamboo has many other uses as well, and also when we look at the economy of bamboo, leave aside the biomass energy generation for the time being, I see it from the economic benefit of Auroville. 1 acre of bamboo can produce 50,000 rupees net per year from the third year onward, with an investment of essentially 50,000 rupees per acre to begin with and about 10,000 rupees a year of its management and watering. And Bamboo Commission, which has been set up specifically by the central government and then also the state governments, are giving very heavy subsidies for popularizing the cultivation of bamboo. I am in touch with the local Bamboo Commission to see whether what is being offered to the farmers can also be offered to an institution like Auroville. And just to give you a brief idea, they give you 4,000 rupees an acre for setting up the water system. They also give you 60% subsidy on buying the plants or planting. And they give you another 4,000 acres per year for 2 years for maintaining the bamboo system. And of course, in Tamil Nadu, as you mentioned earlier, electricity being free, this is another advantage which is not available to us, but to other farmers it is available. Now, if I have to produce 100 kilowatt energy, I only need 20 acres of bamboo plantation. If I want to produce 1 megawatt, I need between 175 to 200 acres of bamboo cultivation. And if I combine with the rest of the things, I believe in Auroville with 300 acres of land, plus the bamboo, plus the biomass that we can generate from our own sources, we can quite conveniently meet 3.5 megawatt possibilities. Now, coming back to another two advantages as far as this is concerned. One is that as far as the byproduct is concerned, it is activated charcoal, which again is used as a water purifier. It is used for many purposes, and especially if you go to China and see what they're doing with this, it's amazing. So charcoal, this activated charcoal, today's market price is 30 rupees a kg. And 1 megawatt produces not less than 3.5 tons of activated charcoal per year. The most important thing is, when we talk about global warming, bamboo is perhaps the most ideal vegetative product or a grass that gives you the maximum benefits per acre as far as the carbon dioxide footprint reduction is concerned. 1.28 tons per plant per year. And if you look, what happens after the Copenhagen, I don't know, but according to the Kyoto Protocol, if you look at the bamboo as far as your carbon dioxide footprints are concerned, a 3 point, let's say smaller one, 250 kilowatt plant, which we are hoping will be set up as a pilot project, can give you 1,033 tons carbon credit per year. Today's rates are 17 euro per ton. Right, okay. Okay. Now, then another area that I have been investigating is also biodegradable waste from the kitchens. And can that be used as a source of energy? I've done a study this year of our own various kitchens, community kitchens and private kitchens. And I have a study here, and I can tell you that the way we are dealing with our biodegradable waste is shameful, except for one or two places. But what I came to the conclusion of was that from two kitchens, that is the solar kitchen as well as the visitor's center kitchen, we are generating a waste equal to about 300 kg per day. And if we collect also the waste from a few other kitchens or restaurants, we have the possibility of using 500 kilos of kitchen waste to generate biogas, methane gas, for fuel, for burning in the kitchens instead of the gas that we're burning now. I have an offer already for this, and perhaps we're considering the possibility of setting it up as the first prototype unit in visitor center. Now, another interesting fact is that when you talk about methane, 1 ton of methane is considered 21 times more dangerous than CO2. So therefore, you get the equivalent of 21 tons of carbon dioxide as a support when you are methanization and creating energy in this. Now, in Aurobel, according to me, because we are basically geared to developing the energy alternatives in Aurobel, I find these two provide excellent energies to set up the product. Then there's a third element which I've been also investigating, which has also a relevance as far as global warming is concerned. And that is composting. Again, it is an energy saving in an indirect cost, and today there are machines available which can even reduce, while reduce, eliminate totally the use of the cow dung. One of our own products, enzymes, we can use it for decomposing. And we can, and compost is what we are going to need in huge quantities. In Matrimandir alone, I can share with you, last year we used 8,000 tons of compost. So these are all the areas which, if you look holistically with what is happening in the solar energy side, what is going to happen in the wind energy side and all that, we have tremendous possibilities. But here, what I am inviting to people is, look at our own resources and try and bring it out into the best possible manner in generating electricity, which we can use for ourselves, and also be conscious about the audit, the end user's audit, so that we can minimize the use. With this, I think I can conclude. Any questions? I'll be very happy to ask.
Okay. Maybe we set up a panel. And this is the perfect end, because our next seminar next week is on waste management. So do come for that. We're trying to see. But I would like to invite Carol, Min, and Kashi, if you could set up three chairs here and just have a panel discussion, questions.
This was the study on the...
It would be better if you guys want to move to the front, just easier to hear. And while we're setting up, Edwin wanted to address the youth. We were happy that so many young people come out to the University of Humanity.
And just an announcement, incidentally, I have most of these studies on CDs, if anybody's interested. Yeah.
Sure.
Not here. Contact me at the Lavenir Aurobel, and I'll be very happy to share.
Where?
Lavin is Auroville in town.
Town hall. And also going around are is the study on bamboo and the two books Plan B and Plan C. These are our only copies, so please, before the we've dispersed, we may want it back.
And also the report that is going on.
Yeah, the bamboo report needs to come back.